Good evening.
Good
to see everyone tonight. Tonight, I don't have too much to say, but just some things that have been on my heart that I'd like to share. The first hymn we sang was number 231, Beautiful Words of Jesus. In verse 2, I'd just like to read again. It says, beautiful words of Jesus, cheering us day by day, throwing a gleam of sunshine over a cloudy way, casting on him the burden we are too weak to bear. He will give grace sufficient. He will regard our prayer. If we can turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I kind of have two thoughts on my mind. One of just the grace and the faithfulness of the Lord. And the second of us as believers just living for the Lord. So if we can I'll read chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, and I'll make a few comments. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And this is just something this next portion is very precious to me. It means a lot to me. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. In verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. And this is the second thing I'd like to focus on as well. Verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. I guess, just briefly, I think I shared my testimony when we first started coming to the meeting almost 6 years ago now. So I won't go, not in too much detail, but I was, I believe I was six. My parents had been talking to me and Kevin, and they shared the gospel with us, and I just, as a child, I guess, as much as I could believe, I believed. I knew that I was a sinner and that I was on my way to hell and I needed a savior, and I trusted the Lord then, and I thank the Lord for my parents who gave me the gospel. But I guess you're wondering why I'm a little emotional. I've struggled with assurance and with trusting him. And these verses just, just speak to me so much is that even when we're faithless and we don't trust him enough, he remains faithful and he can't deny himself. And the reason I read that verse from the hymn is because it says that when we're weak, we can give him everything and we can trust him. And, I mean, we don't deserve it. There's nothing we can do for it. But he gives it to us. And Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's to be strong in the grace that he's given us, he's supplied. There's nothing on our part that we can do for it. And it's just an amazing thought that even when we're faithless, even though when we don't trust him enough, he still won't let us go. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And just that love that he has for us is just so overwhelming. And like I said, we don't deserve it. It's just something that's been on my heart that he's a faithful God. And once we trust him, he can't let us go. He won't. He promises not to let us go. With that, I guess I'll go into the next portion of what is also on my heart. And I guess part of the reason this chapter kind of came to mind, maybe because of the Olympics, I don't know. But it talks about athletics and it talks about competing. And Paul is talking to Timothy, and as a young person, this has always been my favorite chapter, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, is how to live as a young believer, but also applies for all believers. And he says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. And then jumping down to verse 15, again, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And lately it's just been on my heart that we get so busy sometimes in things of this world, and maybe they're not necessarily bad things, but just things we get caught up in, whether it's work or, I know for myself, school, I get busy. And we tend to neglect the things of the Lord and thank the Lord that he's faithful even when we're faithless and even though when we don't spend time with him and we don't do what we know we should do as believers, thank the Lord that he's still faithful. But that doesn't excuse us from not even doing anything. And I guess just kind of as an encouragement to myself, but also to everyone here, is to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, to spend time in his word, to spend time with him daily, and to talk to him, not just like Danny mentioned a couple weeks ago, not just praying like just to pray or just to say words, but to truly believe that he hears our prayers and that he wants us to have fellowship with him and a relationship with him daily, on a daily basis. And something that Sam mentioned a few weeks ago at the Wednesday night prayer meeting, I thank the Lord for it, is we thank the Lord that our salvation doesn't depend on us, because if that were the case, I'd be saved one day and not saved the next day. And thank the Lord that it doesn't depend on me. But we still need to strive to endure hardship as a good soldier. Just watching any of these events on TV, you see these guys in the Olympics and they're training. One of these guys is training for 4 years so he can win an event. And obviously, it's important to note in verse 15 that he says, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're not being diligent to become workers. We're being diligent because we are workers. We're not made workers because of the effort we put in. We're put into the race. We're made workers through God's grace and through his salvation. But now we need to be diligent to present ourselves approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, because either we're all workers. We're either going to be ashamed workers or unashamed workers. And this is something that, especially lately, has been on my heart, is, and I guess me and my dad were talking about it, is it something that we just do? Is it we just come here on Sunday and we come here on Wednesday and then we go home and it doesn't affect our life? And we talked a lot about it at the Rise Up conference, is the preeminence of Christ. The preeminence of Christ isn't necessarily that I get up first thing in the morning and, you know, I have my devotion and I pray and then I go on throughout my day. I mean, obviously that's what, you know, that's good and we should do it. But the preeminence of Christ is not just him being the first in, you know, in our time and everything, but he is in everything. He, in the life that we live, he is everything that it's all about him. And it's not about, okay, I did my thing in the morning and I prayed and now let me go do this and this, but that in everything, it's him through us, him living through us. And that doesn't happen easily. Maybe it's a little harder for guys to let go, but a lot of times we try to do things in our own strength. I know I try to do things in my own strength, but Paul says to Timothy, he says, be strong, not in yourself. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's the only thing that we can live by. We can try, but we can't do anything by the flesh. And we know the verse that says, all our righteousness is filthy rags. There's nothing we can do, even as believers, if we do it in the flesh. It's not pleasing to the Lord. And so we need to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God. And how do we do that? We don't entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life, like verse 4 said. If anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. We need, how do we know what the rules are? The rules are we don't live necessarily by the law and by the Ten Commandments, but we live by the Word of God and his instruction, and his Spirit will guide us to know what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But if we're not spending time with him, then I think, even speaking from experience, it's easy to think you're doing things for the Lord, or it's easy to try to do things from the Lord, but in your own flesh and in your own effort, it just becomes very tiring and very difficult. And it all goes back to fellowship with the Lord and spending time with him, and not just in the morning, not just before you go to bed, but daily and throughout the day, speaking with him and making him real, not just, you know, he saved me and I'm done, you know. He saved us for eternity, and that's secured, and thank the Lord that that's secured, because if it wasn't, then we would, like Paul said, of all men, be most miserable. But we still, that sanctification, the walking, and so I guess just an encouragement to be diligent, not to grow lazy, not to get attached to the things of the world. First John, you don't have to turn there, but First John is also one of my favorite books. First John chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And I know as young people, it's very, very easy to get caught up. Not necessarily in bad things, but just being busy, whether it's school, whether it's work, whether it's sports, whatever it is, it's really easy to get caught up. And then we forget about the Word of God, and it just becomes, and I'm speaking to myself, it just becomes something, you know, on the side. It's not our priority. And that's not what he saved us to or saved us for. But again, I mean, thank the Lord for his faithfulness, is that he won't ever let us go. He won't ever deny us. And what a great God we have, that knowing how we are and knowing how unfaithful we are, he still loves us and he still wants to save us. And then just kind of in closing, in verse 21, he says, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And so maybe just as an encouragement, to myself and to everyone else, is to be that vessel of honor, that I know we talked about in the spring conference, when we come before the Lord, to hear good and faith, or well done, good and faithful servant. And it's easy just to keep putting it off to say, I'll, you know, when I get older, I'll serve the Lord, or when I'll get older, I'll start spending more time with Him. But to start now, to build a relationship with Him that's real and where we can have fellowship with Him daily, whether or not we can, whether or not we're, you know, praying on the bed, or whether we're driving, wherever we are, that it doesn't matter, that we know that He's with us wherever we go. Sorry, I didn't have too much. I just had this on my heart, and just kind of as a reminder that He's faithful even when we're faithless, and He promises if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what a great God we have is that. There's nothing we need to do. As unbelievers, there's nothing we need to do except trust Him. And as believers, there's nothing we need to do except trust Him. So may the Lord help us to truly trust Him, to rest on Him completely, and not in ourselves.
Lord Jason, you made it hard for me to speak after what you said. What a day it is. Full of emotion and mixed emotion, from joy to sadness, or actually to broken heart. But that's what it means, family of God. We have it all. We can joy together, and we can cry together. We pray together, and that's the privilege we have. It is a troubled world outside. Sometimes in our daily talk, we say it is jungle. I would say it is true. But when we come as one body and Christ is the head, no matter what, we feel secured. We feel encouraged. As we heard from Jason, He is faithful God. If we just, every time we come together, not to talk about self and about our problems. If we only talk about His sufficiency and His grace and His word, that will heal all our sicknesses, heal our diseases. That will take care of all our problems. The problem with us is just always looking down and looking at ourselves. But when we lift our hearts and our eyes where He is and where we are supposed to be with Him in the heavenly, everything down here worth nothing, and we can go through it by His grace, not on our own. Bob this morning said he had something to share and was thrown out of the window because what is happening, and that's what also happened with me. And we need words of encouragement, and I'm so glad that we heard the word of God this morning. And I felt reading from chapter to chapter, it was just overwhelming to us, without any comments, without any saying. And I want to encourage you this afternoon, this evening, for something the Lord established for us. And we do it every Sunday, the beginning of the week. And He did it in such way that even many and many, many believers around the world, they don't look at its value, that we are gathered unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remembrance. And I don't know where we can get away as believers, redeemed ones, from obedience to His command and come in humble hearts to enjoy being in His presence. And the one who loved me and loved you, the one who died for me, the one who is living for me, ask to do this in remembrance of me. And Sunday after Sunday and after Sunday, many, many redeemed ones around the world, they don't do it. And my encouragement to the young people today, if you don't feel the privilege that we have in our assemblies, I want to think about it more and more and more. I want to remember that the object in our meeting of remembrance is the Lord Jesus Christ only, who directs the meeting is the Holy Spirit, who watching the meeting is the Father and the angels. And they are waiting to hear the praises and thanksgiving lifted up for the Son who is glorified now. And the Father looked down and is so pleased for what we are doing, because we're glorifying his Son and telling him we are so satisfied, we are so happy to be here because what you did, you sent him to die for us. He offered himself to you as a burnt offering and you accepted it. And he saved us as a sacrifice for sin. And we are here to say thank you. Do we remember the 10 lepers? 10. Been healed. Healed completely. They were excited. They didn't do bad things. They went to the priest. They listened. They showed themselves to the priest that they are healed so they can be integrated back to the society by declaring their healing. Samaritan, one foreigner, remember, he said, what am I doing? I'm done with this. I have to go back to the one who saved me, to the one who healed me, and I'm going to go to worship. I'm going to give thanks. And he did. 10%. And in a way, Jesus asked people around him, didn't I heal 10? Didn't I heal? Yes, he healed 10. So where are the 9? And I'm asking everybody, when you hear this voice, where are the 9? There are many churches. There are many places. Young people, if you are raised in this assembly, if you come to this assembly, I'm not talking this particular assembly, but the assembly that honor the Lord, that's teaching, that's truth. We have to hold on it. You wouldn't know it unless you go to another place and there is no remembrance. There is no remembrance for the one who died for them. Most of the time, it is about us. It is about us. No, the remembrance is about him, not about us. The remembrance is about the one who came to die for me and for you. And if we miss this, we miss the whole thing. I'm saying this because I see some young people, they go anywhere and they don't miss this. Do you know, if you give thanks and remembrance, that's a great privilege. When you stand and you have the freedom, the liberty to give thanks to the Lord, that's a great privilege to you. I will take you to another church, another meeting. I'm not putting anybody down. No, God bless. We're going to be one, all of us in heaven, because we are redeemed. But I'm talking about obedience. I'm talking about obedience to the truth. Do you have any freedom to go anywhere and stand and give thanks to the Lord? I doubt it. I've been there. I came from churches. I came from another places. But I'm saying it is marvelous things. Why? Because let's read in 1 Corinthians 11, please. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye so often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord death till he come. And we sang, he will come again, come again. When we do this, we show forth his death. Do you know? The fact for his resurrection, he is risen. The fact that we worship him, it is because he's living God. But how many, every time you have a fellowship, you have fellowship not with a dead person. You get fellowship with living person. And Jesus is alive. His resurrection is fact. It's every day, whenever you talk to him. But how many times we lose sight that he died for me? He suffered for me. He went through all this agony. He carried the sin for me. And that's because he suffered so much. This death was so shameful to him. He wants us to remember him in his death. What this will do, and I will continue with what Jason said. This is the thing make me talk about remembrance, because that's what gonna keep me going throughout the week. If I come and remember his death, that I live because he died for me, I'm not living throughout the year on my own. The one who died for me and lives for me, he will take me from Monday to Tuesday, and I will be honoring him all the way. And I hope that when we come on Sunday, in the Lord's Day, it is not out of habit or routine. Because if we make it this way, it's not going to have no effects on our lives. But when we come sincerely to remember him, he knows that we are forgetful people. And he wants us to go on and on in this beautiful memory of his death that we always, Monday I remember, the sin, my sin caused you to die, Lord. Do I like sin anymore? Do I love sin anymore? When does sin come? I said, no, it caused him the cross. And that's the whole idea, from remembrance, to keep us away from sin, to take the memory, not just to come and we got the bread, we have the wine, and here we go again in our daily life the way we schedule it. No, it has to have different effects every time, every time. And do you know something? It is like a circle. Your life will be purified, cleansed day by day, more fellowship with the Lord, that you are be eager and anxious to come next following day, following week, first of the week, to offer more and more. And you will see how gonna be the meeting the following Sunday if we are living according to the gospel, according to the memory we had it. And that's what encourages me, that to value the remembrance. It is not once a month, it is not once a year. We can't do that. And he said, do this till I come. And every time we meet here together, say, wouldn't be next time? We hope not. We hope not. We hope to have a feast up there. Up there. I want to say it is not the remembrance about us. Brother and sister with love, I like to say something. When somebody stands to pray, to give thanks, he speaks for all of us. He's not praying for himself at all. And can I try something? It is not formal meeting. It is family meeting. I want to say amen. I want to say everybody, men and women, to say amen after me. Can we try this? I'm going to say amen and follow with me with amen, all of you. Amen.
Amen.
That's what we need to hear in the worship meeting in remembrance. Nobody said the woman can't say amen. The man standing to pray in your behalf. There is no prayer for individual. It is I stand, I pray on behalf of all the assembly. And when I pray, or Brother Dave prays, I will be listening to word by word as if I am saying it. And if I am saying it in my heart, when he finishes, because I end my prayer with amen, I will say amen. My wife will be saying amen. Why we are so ashamed of saying amen in the remembrance? Can we say it again? Amen.
Amen.
The Lord wants to hear this. Don't forget that if you don't, I would say, if we don't say amen, you don't agree. Or you didn't listen. Or you were not in the spirit. These are facts. I'm sorry if I say that the word amen, you can hear it. I lived in Muslim country. And if you go to, if you hear, because everything in by speakers, the mosque, when they say their prayer at the end of Friday prayer, and the imam say amen, thousand, amen. I mean, they could move the whole building. And we have a faithful God. Means amen. Amen in Arabic means faithful. It is the same like amen. Amen means he's faithful to answer. He's faithful to listen. Can't we say amen? Yes. So that's what change our means. Instead of somebody walk and say, are they asleep or what? And some other, this is really important. Women, don't be shy to say amen to any prayer. My wife always saying it next to me. And I will be happy to say amen. We are men. We have to voice ourselves. The Lord asks us to stand and say our prayer. So it is not about ourselves. It is about him. It is not about our thoughts. It is nice to have experience during, and I'm saying this to also the young believers. Okay, the Lord dealing with you. The Lord needs know your needs during the week. So he show you a verse. And the verse became excitement to you, edifying for you. That's not a verse for the corporate gathering. That's for you. I wouldn't come in the remembrance meeting and I say, the Lord has in my heart this verse and I want to share it. It's not about us. We are here to give thanks. We are here not to talk about what he showed me. Do you know something? The Lord showed you this verse for you, not for the assembly. That you can edify and you can build up, you can be encouraged, and then be prepared to come and worship. It is not to talk about your experience in the members' meeting. It is about him and him alone. Not my thoughts, not my experience. It's not about me. It's not about even a story in the Word of God, which is so beautiful, but has nothing to do with his death. Show forth his death. It's not about my sicknesses, my troubles, my walk and all. No. We leave this behind. This is about him. And I will make a value for this meeting that you can see it. If two or three are gathered unto my name, I will be in the midst. Faithful. He will be here. And I tell you something. I want when you come before him, especially in remembrance, because that's what he is joyful to be here. As if he, in person, walked and came here. And I want to ask everybody, if really, really Jesus is here, how can I dare to talk about myself in front of him? Imagine you are in heaven. And he is there. What are we going to do? Talking about ourselves? No. That's exactly it. When he is in the midst, in his church, he is the head. And the head is giving the order. And the order is for his glory, not for my glory, not to speak about myself, not my teaching, not nothing except his word and praises to him. Everything goes around him, and minute after minute till we say amen, that's his meeting. And then we can have a meeting for prayer, which is Wednesday. We can have meeting for teaching like now, but never touch the time he gave us to praise him and to worship him. It is not about teaching. I don't come here to teach. Everything is fine, but when it is not in its place, when it's not in order, we can't do it. We can't do it. And these are the things that's so valuable. I have things to encourage us about soldier and having the armor, which after we take this, we have to armor ourselves during the week. And I had things from Ephesians 6, but I tell you something. If we talk about him, we can take hours about his sufficiency, and we can be satisfied in remembrance as we never been if we talk about ourselves for months. So let us lift our eyes. Somebody said, worship like school, or to worship the Lord. Some people, they're still worshiping in like elementary school, and they like it this way. Some people, they grow up, and they know him more. When they know them more, they know less about themselves, and now they can offer things. Do you know, his death is so precious, not to us only, but to the Father. I mean, the Father is giving the Son. Do you know, we will never enter, we'll never know the 3 hours of darkness. And sometimes we make a mistake and say, he separated. Father separated, or he was separated from. No. We can't use the word separation at all. Sometimes we say it by mistake. But hid his face, just hiding his face from his son, because of our sin. And this is the thing, sin separated us, but can't. For it is God, the triune God. We can't apply the things that apply to us to the Son, the Sonship of God. So our sin was in 3 hours. That's as its heart was on the Son, it was so hard on the Father. And before he offered himself for us, he offered himself to the Father. Do you know why? Because we really took away completely the glory of God. Man robbed God from his glory when we sinned. We called him liar. Because he said something, and we listened to the liar and the father of the lies. So, here it is. He came to walk perfectly before him. Pleased him in all the way. So actually, he lived for the Father before he lived for us. He sanctified himself for us, yes, but also he lived for the Father. Obedient all the way. Pleasing him in all the way. Whatever we failed as Adam, he did it perfect. And when we come to worship, we want to lift him up that the Father can be pleased. It is not all about our salvation. Yeah, that's good. That's good. But that's another level. If we go above this level to praise him for satisfying the Father. And the Father rested in him before we rested in him. So it is a deep, beautiful way of worship and remembrance. So if you don't have the liberty to praise him anywhere, that's not his will. And I want you to look for the remembrance, look forward for the remembrance meeting, because that's the secret, if you enjoy it, for godly life, day after day. And we will show forth his death. He died for me. You go out, you testify, you witness, he died for me. You will be occupied. Jason tried to say the preeminent, to be preeminent. Do you know that that's it is? To be occupied by him. Your thoughts, your life, your walk, everything in you, it is about him. Because you learned that you lift him up, you remembered him, you gave him the glory in the first of the week, and the rest of the week will be his and for his glory. Let's pray. Blessed God, our Father, how thankful we are for our Savior, Lord Jesus, the faithful one, the one who gave himself for us, the one who obeyed you unto death. We give you thanks for him because he loved us so much, and he promised to be with us and to encourage us and to guide us. We thank him for his promises. And also we thank him for giving the chance in this wilderness that we can stop by once a week as a family of God to remember his death. We'll give you thanks for him, the one who pleased you, the one he glorified you, and that why you glorified him also, and you give him a name above all names. We praise his name this evening and evermore. We pray for this assembly. We thank you for the revival you brought to us in this assembly. And we know that Satan is attacking. But we know that we are victorious because the Lord in the midst and the Lord is in it. We give you thanks for him, and we know that without him we can do nothing. Help us to rely on the grace, not on ourselves. and we live by faith, trusting him always. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.